This is Alex Hightower
and Lainey Mays.
And this is Do You Even Podcast, a podcast about everything you didn't know you wanted to know about podcasts. Welcome. Happy April. We're hoping for spring. It's kind of here. Yeah. I don't know.
Don't hex us because
right. Yeah.
It has not felt like spring. Mm-mm. Yeah, it's been pretty bad. But today feels nice. So maybe New York is getting spring.
I think it's
It'll be for
up,
like 2 weeks sure. And then it will be gone.
It will snow.
It will snow or it'll be like hot for summer.
Yep. Yep.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We're excited to give you a lot of recommendations and then queue up our mid-month interview. So stick around for information on that. And right now, we're going to get into what we're listening to. Alex, what's going on?
Yeah. So a few things I've been observing. I feel like I've been listening to the same stuff this month. I feel like last month I had a few new ones to the rotation, but now it's pretty much the same. Although one of the ones that I added last month, I think it was the Nerdette. And now I'm just regularly listening to it. Oh. So I really like that. It's like a new staple for me. But cool. They had an episode called April is the Cruelest Month, Make a Smoothie, which is a very funny title to me. And I kind of agree based on the weather, but it was really good. Usually this podcast covers a bunch of different stuff. They give like good recommendations for like movies and TV and books, but they also do interviews. It's very like culture centric. And so in this one, they covered a lot of ground again. They did talk about Amazon workers unionizing, which I thought was really interesting. So definitely listen to the episode for that. They had some great, again, book recommendations and TV recs. I have been hearing about Severance from my mom. She's been raving about it. She's been following it super closely. I think they might have just had the series finale. And they definitely talked about that show and hyped it up. So now I have to listen to that. And I will say the Nerdette is the show that got me onto Station 11. So now I trust them because I am obsessed with that show. And then speaking of Station 11, they had Emily St. John Mandel on the show and they interviewed her about her new book, Sea of Tranquility. And it was really interesting. I don't want to spoil anything. I think you should go listen to it. But at the end, they also talked about Station 11 again and the TV show and how much involvement she had and what she thought about it. She is a supporter of it, which was really good. So, yeah, it's just like a nice new show that I enjoy. So I encourage other people to listen. It's not very long. It's like 20 minutes tops. Nice. But yeah, that's my new fave.
Well, let's see. So as a lot of people in New York are trying to figure out, returning to work. And I've always said that, like, my life is reflected in what I listen to because that's what I seek out. Like, I want to know more. So I found this podcast from – actually, I wasn't looking for it specifically. I was just looking at, like, trending ones. And there's a new one from the Washington Square Journal called As We Work. So it's a podcast about the changing dynamics at the workplace. And so they talk to people who are, like, challenging or reevaluating the work-life balance or, like, work – you know, like what the workplace looks like now that we've done virtual for 2 years, some of us. And so it was really cool. I listened to this one episode called Goodbye Water Cooler.
This is going to hit home.
Yeah, it was really interesting because I think that's what a lot of people who want to go back into the office worry about, like no one being there or like how do you make connections with people or like people who started, you know, during the pandemic, like how do they find people. So they talked to Lucy Suros, who is a CEO of an e-learning company, Articulate, and they've always been a company that is virtual. And so I thought it was really interesting because they talked to Lucy about always being virtual and kind of how they had a leg up on this, but also how they foster those connections, which I thought I got some actually really good ideas if I ever needed to do that at my job. So if you're looking for ideas, listen to it. And then at the end, they had more about this pandemic romance that happened between colleagues in, I think they're in Quebec. They were in government. And so they knew each other. And then they started FaceTiming about, you know, what they're going to do now that everything's shut down, and they fell in love and it was really sweet. So I thought it was a cool listen. I'm excited to listen to more of it.
That's a cool one. Yeah, I want to listen to it too. Yeah, my other things have been kind of the same old, same old. Definitely a lot of Up First in the Mornings. I still really love Shortwave. They've had a few interesting episodes. I guess this one kind of goes into news, but there are two episodes from them that I recommend. One is called What We Gain from Dark Night Skies, which is just like a super fun listen. You can listen to it anytime. It talks about like a little bit about light pollution, essentially like the way we view the sky, the way our ancestors viewed the sky, and like thinking about that. But also, which is like more news related, there were just a couple different shows, including Shortwaves, that had really good episodes, especially since we've been seeing so much like anti-LGBTQ legislation, which has been really upsetting to watch happen. But Shortwave had an episode from late March, actually, late last month, called Parents of Transgender Youth Fear Texas's Anti-Trans Orders. And it's a really good listen. They are, like the title says, talking to a couple parents about their kids' experiences, the questions their kids had, like seeing this legislation, going to school, hearing about it. So I think that's a great listen. And then also like on a similar topic, Science Versus had a good episode called Trans Kids, the Misinformation Battle, which I think is really important because misinformation is at the heart of so much. And so I think these are just really good listens. There's a lot of empathy in them, but also just a lot of information. So they can be helpful for people who are seeking more. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So again, speaking of reflecting your life, I was aware of the her first 100K podcast where it talks about like investing or like saving. And it's over, I think. I don't think that she makes any more. But I was looking at like money podcasts, especially when you want to get into investing or like saving money. And I found this one called Millennial Money, but with Shannon Compton Game. And it just talks about like flipping the script on old school approaches for money and some tips. And they talk to experts. And I have really been enjoying it. I've learned a lot. And I think that it gives you the resources to really dive in if you want to, but it's in a really accessible way. It's not something you need to know a lot about money or saving or investing to start listening. And it's a good entry point. So I really enjoyed it. I listened to How to Start Value Investing to Earn Money and Save Time.
I feel like I need that podcast.
Yeah. So I just have one other what I'm listening to. I saw it. I think I just was like on the Discover page. Spotify's Discover page is really great. I think I found it there, but they have a podcast. It's a Spotify original from Gimlet. It's called Resistance. Have you heard of this podcast?
I don't think so.
Mm-mm. It's just a show about like refusing to accept things like as they are. So anybody who's resisted anything. And I listened to an episode called Get Back in the Water. And it's a little historical and a little current. There's a stretch of beach in Southern California that was originally in like, I think the 20s or 30s, owned by a black couple. And they got out of this land. They had like huge legal battles, just racism essentially to get them out of their land, and so they lost this, and then now it goes in between that history of how they got that land and how they lost it and how they don't have generational wealth to pass on, and then between present day where a woman is looking for a place to swim or be, and she wanders upon this plaque that's like, oh, this used to be here, but when you look around, no one is reflective of that community that was there and what they have done to try to get some of that wealth back. And it was really fascinating. And even some bad experiences that they had during like present day at this beach. Anyway, it was really fascinating. Something I didn't know about history wise, but I also really like that they're just like highlighting people who step up and try to make the world a little more right. I really enjoyed it. So I want to listen to more. They have several other, I mean, I'm sure it's like resistance of all kinds. So like Jesus was an enemy of the state. So they have all kinds of stuff about people who are resisting, and I really enjoyed it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of that one. That sounds very up my alley. Very interesting. Yeah. In terms of just other things I've seen and heard about or things on the horizon in the podcast industry, this was just interesting to me. Forever Dog Productions, I think that's what it's called, is launching a new podcast network called Eve, which is catering like specifically to Gen Z women. And so I'm always like, my ears are always perked when people are like really heavily marketing towards like one of these like quote unquote age categories, which like obviously there's a lot of wiggle room there and conversations to be had. But I always find it interesting because I'm like, okay, what are they aiming to do? And maybe it's partially because I work in children's books. So I'm like, how do we reach the kids? but they were talking about some of the shows that they're going to be launching in the future. And I just felt like they felt more millennial. But they're going to have a few shows with hosts from shows like Too Hot to Handle, F-Boy Island, which I became obsessed with F-Boy Island. It is ridiculous, but it's so funny. The Circle, which is another kind of reality television show. And so I think the goal is really to have a lot of these shows kind of led by these influencers. So maybe like it is really targeting Gen Z too. But for me, I was like, oh, I feel like this is hitting a slightly older audience. Like that's who I hear binging these shows. But maybe that says how much I know about Gen Z. But that'll be just interesting to see what kind of content they come out with.
Interesting. Yeah. In exciting news, I guess if that's what you want to label it. I saw that the USPS has a podcast called Mailin' It.
That's such a good title.
Yeah, it's an official podcast. And so they go behind the scenes or talk about the history of the USPS because it's a really old institution. They used to mail children. You could mail kids for like this money of a stamp as long as it was under a certain weight class, and that's just a fun fact I randomly know, but they had to have some kind of legislation because people were mailing their children to relatives and the postmaster like had to take care of this. Anyway, stuff like that, I don't know if they're gonna highlight that, but that kind of stuff fascinates me, and I hope that that's on the podcast. So they're gonna talk about the future and industry leaders. I do find it interesting because the post office is so odd in that it's not privatized and it is part of the government, yet we rely on it so much. And somebody was talking about that the other day of just how, like, especially in other countries, you don't know if you're getting your mail. Like, the mail is not something that comes every day. And the fact that our mail gets to us and, like, sensitive information is not tampered with is crazy. And, like, people get mad at the post office, but it is pretty reliable. Like, I maybe once in my life has mail gotten lost, like physical mail. So I don't know. It's crazy how much it gets done. So I don't know. I'm kind of here to learn more about the post office, and I hope that they get a little more better of a rap from this podcast of all they do. Yeah.
So I know maybe a month or two ago we were talking all about like TikTok stars who are becoming podcasters. And so I saw another show that's hosted by a TikTok star. The show's called Jasmine Gives Bad Advice. It's from Pod People, a Pod People original. I love that name too. So Jasmine's a comedian. She creates like funny sketches on TikTok. I feel like if you see her, maybe people don't recognize her by her name. At least I did not. But when I saw her, I was like, oh, I've seen her stuff. It's very funny. Like, she makes the best faces. But apparently on the show, she'll take listener-submitted questions, interpret them through sketch comedy, and then gives terrible advice. So it just sounds silly the whole way around, which is funny. So I'll be interested to see, like, what other TikTok stars are kind of making their way to the podcast world next, for sure.
Yeah, the only really newsy thing I have left is – this made me kind of laugh. There is a Australian Guardian post saying that podcast listeners, this is the headline, podcast listeners likely to be more curious and less neurotic, study says.
They don't know. I'm just kidding.
I'm like, okay, I'll take it. But it was interesting because they did a study and they, I mean, not The Guardian. I think it was by PLOS One. Don't know that, but it was done by them. And it was just saying that podcast listeners are more likely to just be really open and interested in general, like have a big curiosity, which we all know. But that also makes them feel less alone because they have I don't know if you guys remember our trailer, but someone said they like podcasts because they feel like they have a friend in their pocket. And that's what it's saying. You know, they proved that the more they listen, the more that the host feels like a friend. Talking to you, Michael Barbaro. But they feel like a friend. And so that makes you kind of have this socialization that not all people have, especially during, you know, the quarantine. People feel like they're connected more and they have a perceived intimacy. And I think that that's a really cool thing to prove through a study, because that's what we always say on this podcast, is that you can find friends this way. And I, as far as the neuroses goes,
that's the part I have questions about.
Let's see. So they're tying neurotic associations with not using social media as much, just doing podcasts and not being on social. So not having that, I guess, like likability, get that high of the likes. I think that's what they're pulling, that they're just like not at, on that scale.
Yeah.
Right. It's very interesting.
That can make you neurotic and like is part of the reason I'm not really on social. So that's interesting. Anyway. I have one last news one. It's just a really quick thing. That Ebony magazine, which like I know definitely had like some print struggles at least. Apparently they're relaunching like digital first, or like I guess digital forward, and they're launching Ebony Studios, which will be like a whole multi-platform hub and will include podcasts and other like audio media. So that'd be really cool. Hopefully they get like a lot of, or kind of support a lot of Black creators and getting projects off the ground. Obviously it's corporate, so I always have, you know, my suspicions and questions, but it's interesting.
Okay, so yeah. We're going to get into Alex's BYOP.
Bring your own podcast.
And then a little calendar corner. And then we'll bid you adieu until our interview halfway through the month. Alex, what are you listening to?
Yeah. So this is a cool podcast where I feel like I stepped a little bit outside of what I normally listen to and like the topics I normally listen to, but it's super important. And so I think it could be great for all of our listeners who have children. So this podcast is called No One Is Coming to Save Us. I don't know if you've heard of it. It has really interesting... Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's very passionate. And I think that's what's like amazing about it for sure. But it's a mini series covering America's childcare crisis and the people of all ages who are crushed by it. But it's like very much led with like this kind of like activism focus on where we are now in terms of our country's like childcare process, our offerings, what sort of support we have, what sort of support should we have, and like the people who are really fighting to have more support for parents everywhere, to find ways that childcare can be subsidized, can be like supported through our government, and how really like as a community we should be taking care of each other. So it's a really interesting show. It has so many insightful interviews. It's very much like documentary style, but I just learned so much from it, just hearing from these people's stories. And also I learned a lot about like the history of childcare in our country, which I just didn't really think too much about. But like I said, I'm not a parent. So I was like, oh, okay, like how am I going to go into this show? But it's very compelling and just really important. And it also, and I'll get to this later, but it really made me think about the ways the pandemic has made us think about things differently, and just the idea of like being a community, how we should support each other, how like family in some ways is really like just like the burden of family and the way it's been narrowed so much, and how that saying of like, it takes a village is so true. And like, in some ways I feel we've lost sight of that. Not everyone, but definitely certain communities. And so it's important to find a way back to that. So it really spoke to me. But like I said, it's a documentary style show. It's hosted by Gloria Rivera, and it has bits from Kristen Bell, which is really fun. It was
She's a fun
surprise.
Really big into like the teachers thing. Doesn't she give money away or something?
Yeah, she did some sort of like funding thing. I can't even remember right now. I should look that up, and we can also put that on the blog too. She is really passionate about a lot of different topics and things that revolve around like families, educators, and apparently childcare, which is really cool. So it was nice to have her voice peeking through too. I did not expect it, because when I found this podcast, I think I was just scrolling Spotify and I saw the album art, which we'll put on the blog, but the cover art, sorry, has a bottle that's knocked over, like a crushed juice box, and then a coffee mug that's empty with like coffee spilled everywhere and some Cheerios scattered. So it looks really chaotic, but it's on this like pale pink background, so it looks aesthetically pretty but upsetting at the same time, which maybe is the way people describe certain aspects of this experience. I was like, what is this? And so I just started listening. I saw a little bit about the host there. She's an Emmy Award winning journalist and she's a news correspondent. She has two children of her own. But I had no idea Kristen Bell would be coming in too. So I was listening to the first episode and all of a sudden I heard her voice. And she, Kristen Bell, is the Call It Like It Is correspondent. So she really does inject some humor into it, but also really, you know, delivers these important facts around like inequities and comparisons of childcare systems here in the US, but then also around the globe. So it's a nice balance that you get with both of them. The show started May 2021. So that's also an interesting time. Like I said, I think the pandemic, things were hard before the pandemic, especially for, you know, working parents. But when everyone's like working from home and working remotely and trying to figure out like, can I even have a babysitter if like they're not vaccinated, or before we even knew what to do about like vaccination rates and all of that, it just got really tricky trying to balance all those pieces. And so I think that it made people think differently about how urgent this need for childcare is and how urgently we need affordable childcare. So it started May 2021. It was 5 episodes of this mini series, and then they came back for a new season. So they've had some new episodes the past few weeks. I've listened to a mix. Like, I haven't listened to all of the new ones, but I listened to a couple that came out in March. And so those really are focused on now and the pandemic. But I also listened to the first part, like the first 5 episodes. And those are fascinating. They're so good. They're so well produced. The new ones are too. But I think those set a really good foundation for understanding where a childcare system was, like 100 years ago. And then understanding why we really need this, how long people have been fighting for this. So yeah, I think there's so many that I could recommend. The first one is great. I think it's a really great way to enter the show and understand the status of everything. It's also very honest. The host, Gloria, first talks to some guests at the very beginning of the episode, and she doesn't cut out the part where her child interrupts. She doesn't cut out the part where she starts to cry, which is interesting. So it is just very open about this experience. From the first few episodes of the miniseries, they look at this education center called Ellis Early Education in Boston, Massachusetts. And just like for reference, when we're talking about like this early childcare, we're talking about before kindergarten. So it's really that time before you can even go into public school where you have to shell out money to figure out like what to do with your children. And so they lay out the different options, whether that's a nanny, whether that's a program like this, whether that's a family member, but how all these options do have pros and cons and different costs that you have to be aware of. They talked to the CEO of this childcare center, and she was really honest too. And there are just so many things that go into her keeping the center running, but also being aware of the fact that her staff might be burnt out, especially dealing with a pandemic. There's this really interesting section where they talk to someone who works at that center, and she along the way has a child of her own, and she can't afford to send her kid to the center where she works. And so it was just this whole like emotional, mental battle about one, just the financials of that and how terrible that is, but just also the emotional piece of like, I have to figure out a way to leave my child to take care of other people's children. And it just, it was really tough. Like it was a really hard listen, but it was really interesting and important to talk about. So I definitely recommend the first to just get like a feel of the show. But the second one is so good because it talks about, like I said, the history of childcare in this country. I learned so much about like, I don't even want to spoil everything, but there's this really interesting piece talking about how we got to where we are now and the fact that there were early childcare systems. But somewhere along the way, capitalism comes in there and basically splits, good old capitalism, every time it splits the system. And so you really have this idea of childcare where initially it was very custodial. You're taking care of basic needs. But once people understood, children can learn. Like this is a really important time before a kid is even 5 that their brains are developing. And like we should be paying attention to that. All of a sudden, like I said, money gets in the way, capitalism. And so the programs actually foster that like learning and growth are very expensive. And then they kind of look down on the programs that are just trying to help parents have a place to send their kid while they're trying to work and support their families. So yeah, I just became so passionate about this listening to it. But it is really interesting the way they talk about the ways the government could and should be involved. There's different like military childcare programs and seeing the structure of those. They have an episode that talks about other countries around the world and what they do and how we can try to implement this in our country, but also probably what our corporations are thinking about when they're looking at their bottom lines and why they're not choosing to do certain things and how we can really fight for legislation that pushes forward. So some of season two gets into that too, and it's really interesting. But overall, it's such a good show. What's also cool is there's a Facebook group that they started, and it's for parents to join. It's private, which is good. So they monitor to let people in so no one's like, I don't know, like trashing it or whatever. Because I think there's a lot of sensitive topics that they're obviously talking about. But it's good that they created a space where parents can join and they can discuss and they can talk about what's working for them, or they just want to vent, or they can share resources. So it's nice that they actually keep the conversation going outside of this podcast too. But yeah, that's the show. It's so good. Really good listen.
I also want Call It Like It Is correspondent on my like business card. I love that so much.
It's so cute. She's really funny on it too. Like, she's hilarious. There's this one part, it might be in the first or second episode, where they're talking, the host is talking to a family, and I think they asked the dad to record like a typical morning or day or something with his kids. I don't remember how many he has, but there is one kid who loves to hear, is it Love Is an Open Door? It's some song from Frozen. And you realize he was recording on his phone, but usually uses his phone in the mornings to play the song. And so he's trying to talk his kid off the cliff, like, okay, we're not going to listen to it this morning. He's like, I want to hear the Frozen song. And so he just records this whole battle with his child that he eventually gets into, plays the Frozen song. So then when Kristen Bell comes on, she's like talking to the kid, but like really talking to like the adult listeners. And she's like, hey, it's Anna. And it was just dying. It was so cute. But yeah, it's a really dynamic show. It's really good.
Wow. I'm excited. Yeah. I think it's also, it could capture like the overlap of like teachers who want to get this information known, like how much it does take to raise a child and to go to school every day, even if they're like not in traditional K through 12. But then also overlapping with the parents who like are dealing with the kid outside of school and like maybe meshing them. Like, what can we put together to learn?
A lot of perspectives come together because, they talk to the teachers who are teaching maybe these like 3-year-olds and watching them. They're talking to like also the administration of these corporations. They're talking to parents for sure, lots and lots of parents. And then they're talking to people who, like I said, are both. Like, there's a woman who is a parent, but she also is like taking care of like these kids who are under a year old every day. So it is good to just have all the information there and people can learn from each other and figure out what we can do. But yeah, the way capitalism is just always in the background, just tearing it up. I'm like, oh, but there has to be a way. There has to be a way.
Well, that's exciting. I'm excited to listen to that one.
Yeah, I'll post everything on the blog for people to find it. Super good. Yeah. And I'll post that, like I said, that cover art, because it's very pretty, but very like, oh no, something's happened.
I feel like a lot of people feel during this time of trying to find childcare. What has happened?
Yep.
I love it. Thank you.
Yeah, anytime.
All right. Now we're ready for
Calendar Corner. Calendar Corner.
This is where we give you a rundown of some things you can listen to throughout the month and celebrate the holidays, some odd and some more well-known, but we're excited.
So for Calendar Corner, there are so many things happening this month. Ramadan goes from April 2nd, so it already started, through May 2nd. And I instantly had a podcast that was on my mind. I love this show. It's called Tell Them I Am. I can't remember when it started, but I know I've mentioned it on the show before. It's so good. It ran through Ramadan 2021. So I didn't see new episodes, but it's a really great listen. And it's hosted by 22 different Muslim guests for each episode that just offer like these different stories and glimpses of who they are. Really personal, intimate, and interesting, and like really wonderful to listen through the month.
Nice. So April 10th is National Siblings Day. And I immediately thought of Working on It with Meghan Trainor and Ryan Trainor. I see it everywhere. And they, so brother and sister Ryan and Meghan talk, and they go there. I've seen some clips. She talks about like having a baby and all these things. And he's just very much like, what? But I appreciate it. National Siblings Day.
Nice.
And then let's see. So yeah, so the 3rd through the 9th of this month is National Library Week. Molly Shannon's the national honorary chair anyway. And we have several holidays throughout this week, like National Library Workers Day and National Library Outreach Day, Take Action for Libraries Day. So we're just going to celebrate with a really great podcast that I actually work with at work called the Syosset Turn the Page podcast.
Yeah. Nice. April 15th is National Laundry Day. I don't know if you guys knew that, but now you do. So I found a podcast called Laundromat. Yeah, true.
Taking you to the laundromat.
Oh, God. Lady. I love it. So I found this podcast called Laundromat Resource. It's a show for laundromat owners and industry experts. And I think we should have a show covering everything for everybody. So I hadn't heard of this, but go check it out.
Cool. Yeah, that's cool.
And then more holidays, religious holidays. April 15th through April 23rd is Passover. And I was looking up different shows and episodes, and Unorthodox actually recently released an episode a few days ago. It's their episode 313. They have a lot of backlist called A Passover to Remember. So definitely check that one out. And then April 17th is Easter, and there's a lot of shows I found too, but one that I want to shout out is called The Characters of Easter. It's hosted by Dan Darling, who also has a book. So he introduces you to the ordinary people who witness the miracle of Christ's death and resurrection. So covering a lot of different approaches to the holidays.
Okay, so April 26th is Audubon Day. So obviously we need to learn more about the legacy of John James Audubon. I loved learning about his paintings and his books that he put out with all of this nature when I was in art history class. And he's had a very storied past. So I went to NPR for their episode on Talk of the Nation called The Legacy of John James Audubon. So go check it out. And then I think last I have is April 29th. That is National Arbor Day.
Nice.
Trees need love too, you know. It's my favorite quote from Halloween Town.
Hug them.
And there is a podcast called Talking Trees with Davy Tree. Obviously, best name. And it's called What is Arbor Day? And they talked to the Arbor Day Foundation president, Dan Lamb. So you can find out all about Arbor Day and trees.
Nice. So my last one is that April 30th is National Bubble Tea Day. Very important. I actually am going to go get a bubble tea after we record. So I actually found two. So one's called Bubble Tea with Bee. Where she just brings on different guests to just share their opinions and their stories. And she recommends you grab your favorite bubble tea with it. And then there's another show called Unapologetically Asian. And that has an episode called Lose Our Jobs But Make It a $2 Million Bubble Tea Startup. Casual. And it focuses on these two people, Jenny Lee and Pamela Yip, who lost their jobs during the height of COVID, and they discovered a niche in the market for bubble tea that can be made from the comfort of your own home. And I think, I must be thinking of a different brand, but I have bought bubble tea before to make at home. I bought it for Christmas for my little brother, and it was really good. So there definitely is a market for that.
Wow, that's cool. Well, I think that's it for our shorter episode. I don't know. There's a lot going on. Please remember our new playlist, which is super fun.
Yes.
The stuff we talked about today should be in there, or maybe some stuff we didn't talk about, and you'll get a lowdown of what you need to listen to. That's on Spotify. If you need help finding it, let us know. It'll be in our show notes. And this month is National Poetry Month, and we are so stoked because we got a really big get. We're so excited. We interviewed the producer of The Slowdown, Micah Kielbon. So crazy. The Slowdown is an awesome podcast if you haven't heard it. Super fun. And a poet reads a poem to you and gives a little context. They also put it in your inbox so you can get the poem and read it there. It's super, super cool. It was started by the past poet laureate Tracy K. Smith, and now it is being continued by Ada Limon. And it's just a really cool podcast, super short. And then we reached out for National Poetry Month, and the producer was like, yeah, sure. So we got an inside look. So be sure to listen to our next episode this month and hear all about The Slowdown.
Happy April. Woo woo. So much stuff. That's plenty of recs for y'all.